Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide radio show. The show's outrageous and it's contagious. It will lift your spirits high, you'll feel that you can fly. Transform your attitude, fill it with gratitude. Cut loose and improvise, it's coaching time today. Joyce is a great coach with an extraordinary approach. Fast on the upbeat, top of the heap. A wild motivator, great stimulator. Unstoppable in a humoristic way. Life lessons with passion, joyfully today. You want Joyce as your coach if you want this to be your best year ever.
Coach Joyce here. I want this to be your best year ever. I want this to be my best year ever. I want this to be the best year ever for Gary King, his family, his friends, and we want this to be the best year ever for all our friends and family and loyal listeners worldwide.
Welcome to Joyce, Barry, and Friends. We are broadcasting live across America and around the world. This is the Hour to Empower, with stimulating talk, views you can use, memorable quotes, and powerful life lessons. We always have hot guests and cool topics. We even have cool guests and hot topics. You always want to tune us on, tune in, and tune up with us to hear the best of the best. You do not want to miss any of our shows. Each show goes into our archives. Log into JoyceBarryandFriends.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E, and you will see each guest and each topic on our homepage. You can play and download any of our shows, always informative, inspiring, and motivational. You want to share these special shows with your friends, family, and contacts. You can follow us on Facebook and become a Joyce Barry subscriber and even a fan by going to our Joyce Barry and Friends fan page. Be sure to check like. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us by going to our Blog Talk Radio homepage and clicking follow right below my picture. You can also message me in any of these venues about our show, about our guests, about anything. My official website is JoyceBarry.com, Barry, B-A-R-R-I-E. The chat room is open. Log into the chat room, have fun, and chat away. I go back and forth into the chat room during the show to see what is going on in there. Motivation, inspiration, and an education. Positive, happy thoughts to improve your life, health, and finances. Take positive actions to create a gratifying lifestyle. Life lessons from me, your host, Joyce Barry, straight from the Coach's Corner. And then you will hear from our wonderful guest today. Folks, every day should be treated like a special day. We wish you the finest of friends, the opulence of opportunities, the magic of miracles, and the happiest of days. May this year be your best year ever.
Folks, what a show today with one of my favorite guests, Gary King, international speaker, awesome author, successful entrepreneur whose background is as diverse and exhilarating, including powerboat racing, internationally known as a sculptor honored by President Bill Clinton, and general manager and vice president of sales and marketing in the television industry. Gary's life story is filled with amazing home runs and the worst strikeouts imaginable, yet he ventures forward with the heart and soul of a victor. That's why he is so very, very inspiring. He's been there, done that, knows about ups and downs. His book, The Happiness Formula, The Ultimately Life Makeover, was released on May 26, 2016, and maintains a 5-star rating on Amazon. He also signed a movie contract for the book with Voyage Media. I'm just hoping he'll make me the star of the book, the ingenue. So, without further ado, I bring to you our special guest, Gary King. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning, Joyce. It's always a pleasure to be on your show, always. It's an honor and a pleasure, and thank you for the introduction. And, you know, before I start and share some content, I always remind people it is never your circumstances that define your future. It's your choices, never your circumstances. If I based my circumstances on my future, I wouldn't be on this call because I wouldn't be here. As mentioned, yes, I've had unimaginable strikeouts and I've had unimaginable home runs. I was joking with someone this morning and said, yes, I was on the front page of every newspaper in the United States. It's called Above the Fold. It was a full-color picture. It was when President Clinton was in office. He was hugging me and pointing at a sand sculpture I did for him, a 40-ton sand sculpture. And if I take the front page of the paper into a Starbucks and go, hey, check this out, it's me. That's me in this photo. And they would go, yes, sir, that's very nice. It's $4.75. you know, yes, you don't get free coffee because you were on the front page. And my point in telling the story is wisdom comes from the strikeouts. It does not come from the home runs. You don't get wisdom from home runs. You get it from the strikeouts. So today I want to talk about divergent thinking. Not a lot of people are familiar with that term, and rightfully so. I mean, unless you researched it, you wouldn't necessarily know what it was or what it meant. You might know what divergent means. So this is a test that was actually given. This test was given to 1,500 people. They were asked to do this test, and this test would determine if they scored at genius level. All right. So 1,500 people were given the test, and the idea was to see what percentage of the 1,500 scored at genius level. Now, I should tell you that this test was given to 1,500 kindergarten children.
Really?
Right? 1,500 kindergarten
wow.
children. Yeah, this comes from a very well-known man who knows lots about education, maybe more than anybody else. His name is Sir Ken Robinson. You can find him on YouTube. He's got many, many TED Talk videos. He's a brilliant man. He should be the Secretary of Education. Anyway, so Joyce, do you have a guess as to what percentage of the 1,500 kindergarten children scored at genius level? What percent of 1,500? Do you have a guess?
I'm going to go with maybe 3%.
98%.
I was off by just a little.
Yeah, just a smidge. All right,
wow, I would not have guessed that at all.
No, they took the same 1,500 children and tested them again when they were 8 to 10 years old. And 32, same children, 32% of them scored at genius level. They took the same 1,500 children and tested them from the ages of 13 to 15, same children, and only 10% of them scored at genius level. Then they took 200,000 adults and gave them the same test to see what percentage scored at genius level. And it was an amazing 2%. So, and as Sir Ken Robinson said, if you're an employer, this is what you're hiring, 2% divergent thinkers. So let me give you an example of divergent thinking. This is what I use in my presentations. I take a water bottle, a 16-ounce water bottle, and I hold it up and I go, okay, if I hand this water bottle to a five-year-old child and I ask them what they can do with it, they will start telling me things like paint it, cut it in half, make a rocket ship out of it, make a race car out of it, put sand in it, put a flower in it. And they will keep going until I tell them to stop. They'll keep naming more things until I tell them to stop. If I give it to a high school graduate and I say, what can you do with this water bottle? They'll look at it and they'll go, well, I can drink the water, put a flower in it, and give it to my girlfriend. If I give it to a college graduate and say, what can you do with the water bottle? They'll go, what do you mean, what can I do with the water bottle? You drink the water out of it. Divergent thinking is the difference in many cases of having your dreams come true, making miracles happen, creating a pathway in life, because all of life has side effects. And for all those people who think they can walk this path called life without side effects, you're in for a shocking surprise, because life has side effects, both positive and negative as well. So, Joyce, give me an example, if you can, of how you've applied that after I gave you the explanation. Have you ever applied that? Many people don't know about it, so.
You're talking about going so out of the box, doing the totally unexpected,
yeah.
I would say. Majorly applied it, and that is when I decided I wanted to be a stockbroker in the days when women were not stockbrokers. How
right.
divergent is that? I literally was one of the first women in the world to be a stockbroker. So if that's not divergent thinking, when everyone said, why are you applying for those jobs and to get a license when you know you're not going to get anywhere? Is that not outside the box in divergent thinking?
Yeah, no question about it. Yes, it is. And I'll give you an example on my end. Because, see, anyone can be a divergent thinker. Anybody can do that. You're not necessarily born as a divergent thinker. Divergent thinking a lot of times grows out of internal pressure to see things differently than other people see them. So I can give dozens of examples in my own life, but because I mentioned the President Clinton and the sand sculpture part, I spent 14 years as an international artist, so I did projects for governments of countries, sand projects. And I'm not talking about 3-foot-high sand castles. I'm talking about things, in many cases, that were 6 stories high. And things like that. So not little beach things. So one day, unbeknownst to me, I knew nothing about sand sculpting. I knew nothing about being an artist. There was a rumor floating around. I live on an island in the Gulf of Mexico off the Tampa Bay area called Treasure Island. And there was a news thing about a group of of artists coming from California that were going to break the Guinness World Book of Records for Sandcastle Height on Treasure Island Beach, which is literally 1 minute from my house. So I got wind of this, and I'll condense the story because it's long. They needed volunteers. They needed 500 volunteers. 27 artists came, and they needed 500 volunteers. So I went to the Chamber of Commerce, put my name on a list, and 6 months later I got a phone call. Gary King, are you still interested in volunteering? Well, because I owned my own business, I had my time, I could schedule my time. And so what it was is I shoveled sand and pulled a fire hose for 9 days in 95-degree weather. Now, my friends and my peers, this was all fenced in. It was a six-story tall castle, and it did break the Guinness Book of Records. So my friends came. And they stood behind the fence, and they watched me, and they would say, are you stupid or what? You are doing this for free? Yes. You're not getting paid. No, I'm not. And you're doing this, you're working how many hours a day? Oh, like 14 in the hot sun. Yes. And you're not getting paid? No. And you're doing this because it's an opportunity. And they went, what are you talking about? It's an opportunity. And they said, for what? And I said, I don't know, but it's an opportunity. That's divergent thinking. It's an opportunity. I saw an opportunity where my peers and my friends saw a waste of my time. That's what they saw. So to shorten the story, I mean, what happened was, I met the main person. His name is Gary Kirk. He's an amazing guy, lives in San Diego. I became part of his team, and I traveled all over the world for 14 years, all over the United States, all over the world, got paid for it, did projects for governments and all these other things. Now, the same people came back to me, my friends and my peers, and they went, you are so lucky. I can't believe how lucky you are. And I went, no, that's not luck. That's divergent thinking. I saw an opportunity where nobody else saw one. And so when you are a divergent thinker, every minute of the day, you see opportunities. If you're a convergent thinker, you can only see what's in front of your eyes. You can't see anything else. You can't see past the end of your nose. And every major thing that's ever happened to me in my life, everything, the home I live in, it happened because of divergent thinking. It's thoughts are things. I mean, that's a cliche that's been around forever. Thoughts are things. What is it? The law of attraction, the DVD, The Secret. You know, it's been around forever. Unfortunately, very few people apply it, and the statistics I gave you prove it out. I mean, 200,000 people get tested with the same test, and only 2% of them are divergent thinkers as adults. Well, that makes you a prisoner. You're actually a prisoner. You put yourself in your own prison. It's the prison of the mind.
I think this is really, truly fascinating. Because the average person, I would say, is very much in the box. We're in a world very much in the box. So I know for me, like you, Gary, the things that most affected life changes was I had to be way, way, way outside the box. Like mm-hmm. when I applied to be a stockbroker, and just one other example, the most outrageous thing I did was enter a Michael Jackson look-alike contest. If that's not divergent thinking, when I look nothing like Michael, I was in a professional contest sponsored by a major radio show. I was up against all African-American, good-looking guys, great dancers, and I didn't even know how to moonwalk. Point of the story is I borrowed the jacket, the kind of jacket he wears, and purchased the shiny pants and the white sock and the glove. But I was so outrageous and so outside the box. Literally, I won first prize of $1,000. So that's the kind
great.
Of way I live my life, because you'd look at the lineup and you'd say, what is she doing there? And I won first prize.
Yeah, see, divergent thinking, that's why I say anybody can do this. It's just that what happens, and the example that Sir Ken Robinson gives of testing the kindergarten children, the moral to the story, the bottom line about the test and the children is that schools teach convergent thinking. Schools take away creativity. They rob children of creativity, and they rob children of divergent thinking because, I mean, that's another silly test that they do with adults. They take an adult and they go, here's a box of crayons and a piece of paper. Draw the sun, a house, tree. And so what the vast majority of adults color is a round circle. They color it yellow, and they put yellow lines out from the circle. They draw a square box with a triangular roof, two windows, and a door, and they draw a brown tree stump and a bunch of green clutter, and that's a tree. Well, that's called convergent thinking. That's because you learned in school that the sun looks like that, houses look like that, and trees look like that. Well, they don't. The sun doesn't look like that, houses don't look like that, and trees don't look like that either. Some do, but that's not what they look like. If schools focused on divergent thinking, see, I'll give you another piece of it that goes in another direction. It takes a divergent thinker in many ways to be honest, have self-worth, and forgive themselves and other people. Because those three things are skills. They're not accidental. They're skills. And you are not taught those skills. So you have to be a divergent thinker. So my divergent thinking process is there's nothing more important than my character. That's divergent thinking. I'm thinking outside the normal way that people think, because the average person does not think that way. They don't think their character is the most important thing in their life. That's not the way they think. They think based on their surroundings and the way they were taught in school. That's the end result. That's why if school transformation doesn't happen soon, the 2% is going to go down to 0.5%. of divergent thinkers.
Gary, you referenced schools a few times, and
yeah.
It is so true what you're saying, because I learned that lesson in kindergarten. I just want to share this one quick story about divergent thinking to make the point that for divergent thinking, you can get in a lot of trouble because when people are so in the norm, they don't get it. So I remember this like it happened yesterday. I can see the room, everything in kindergarten. The teacher started the class with, what do you want to do today? She's telling the students. And in every corner of the room is something else, finger painting in one corner and oil painting in another corner, crayons in another corner, and a big dollhouse. This was a dollhouse you can step inside and play inside, not outside of you, inside. It was huge.
Yeah.
So I choose the dollhouse, and she says, okay, everyone go to what you selected where you want to be today. I'm in the dollhouse, and she says, okay, you know, start doing what you like to do. So the next thing, within minutes, I had the doll carriage, a doll in the carriage, and I'm walking in front of the room. And she said, Joyce, where are you going? And I said, I'm going shopping, which seemed very normal to me. That's why my mom did in the morning. She went out and she went shopping. As I said, I remember every detail because it changed my life. She says, you said you want to be in the dollhouse and you left it. So now I'm taking you out of the dollhouse and now you're going to go to crayons. So at that moment, Gary, on my word, how old is kindergarten? 6, 7, whatever it is. I said, I have to be
five.
A teacher. Yeah. I have to be a teacher because she is wrong. I did nothing wrong. Instead of her being creative and saying, Joyce, but it's going to start raining, you better hurry up and get back to the dollhouse, which would have been creative and playing with me, she made me wrong. Like she was really upset that I left the dollhouse. And I knew at that moment, I have to be a teacher because she was wrong. How's that for divergent thinking?
Well, yeah, it applies. So in my world of divergent thinking, the way I look at schools is schools are not helping children grow. And the definition of education is to bring out the best in a child. Well, that's not what schools are doing. Schools don't bring out the best in children. Schools teach children to be schools are more like minimum security prisons is what they are. They're more like that in the 21st century than they are anything else. Matter of fact, they're even built to look like them now. When new schools are built, they look like and they're fenced in like a minimum security prison. Well, I just was looking at a study. And this is all connected to divergent thinking. I was looking at a study. It was a video documentary done by Michael Moore. Now, Michael Moore is not on the list of my top favorite documentary filmmakers, but that's neither here nor there. He was doing a documentary on the educational system in Finland. So he was in Finland with a camera crew doing a documentary. The documentary involved the headmasters, which in this country are called principals, the teachers and the students. So he was asking questions. Why are you superior in your education? And they showed a chart on the screen. They cut away to a chart. The U.S. is 26th in the world. Finland is number one. But on the chart, Finland is nowhere near the other schools. Finland is at the very top of the chart, and the other schools are down at the bottom. So there's not even a close ratio. So the first question he asked was, what's the major difference between your schools and other schools? No homework. And he's taken back. He goes, what do you mean no homework? No homework. So he doesn't believe them. So he starts asking the students, you don't do any homework? And the students are going, the most homework I've ever done is 10 minutes. What else is different? Oh, all females must take wood shop and machine shop. all males must take cooking, cleaning. And so they showed it, and it's not being faked. They were all having a really great time doing it. So the girls were having a great time working with tools, and the boys were having a great time baking cupcakes. So, you know, it went on and on and on into no testing. And the question was asked, it was asked by Michael Moore, what's the greatest problem with the U.S. school system? What's one of the biggest challenges? And they all said, standardized testing is just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. It should never be done. So, you know, our educational process, it begs to the question, and this is my divergent thinking, it begs to the question, are the schools purposely doing this? Are schools purposely pushing down on children? Are they purposely doing that? That's just the way I think. Because if they're not purposely doing it, it certainly isn't rocket science to do it a different way. It's not rocket science to teach 50% academics and 50% life skills. That's pretty much common sense. You don't need a college degree in education to figure that one out.
I can't understand why on any level it would make sense for the schools to deliberately want a bunch of conformists rather than free thinkers. I've been watching the series on Einstein, the genius, and it's amazing of what he had to go through with his message. It's a fascinating study.
Right. Right. Well, you know, is school about control and compliance, or is school about expansion and thriving? If school was about expansion and thriving and divergent thinking, how would it affect what we term the poor? That's our term, the poor people. How would it affect them? Well, it would dramatically affect them. They're poor because they're taught they're poor in many ways. They're labeled and they're taught they're poor.
I only went to public schools. I didn't go to private schools.
No, I didn't either.
I'm wondering, because this is so fascinating, since I didn't go to a private school, would you say it's more divergent when it's a private school, less people in a class, that they can do that?
Well, I'll answer that this way. Because I have spoken in private schools, and private schools are very different. The ones I was in were very, very different from public schools, very different. I've spoken in privates in London, in Australia, in where else? In Myanmar, which I'm going back to Myanmar in October to work in 12 different schools. And yes, they're very different. I mean, even down to the private schools I've spoken in, they're all uniforms. You cannot come marching into school with cutoffs and ripped jeans and all the things that are considered. I don't even know what they're considered in Western culture. You know, I don't know what they're considered, but they have to wear uniforms. And boy, I'll tell you what, if there's one word of profanity, they are out. That's the end of the story. There's no negotiation. And so.
But it begs the question, are they going to teach divergent thinking?
Yeah, they do. They do.
They can, because they have less to deal with, right?
Well, yeah, and because they're like the private schools in Switzerland are probably the highest rated private schools in the world. I'm guessing at this. This is much of what I talk about is factual. I do a lot of research. I know that private schools in Switzerland can cost $100,000 a year. They can. I know that, as a general statement, they do not allow comparison and they do not allow competition, either one. So they don't allow competitive sports.
Why is that?
Well, it's a thought process that competition requires a winner and a loser. And what happens is when you take it, it's very interesting. I have a friend who, but I don't want to get off on another tangent, but I'll tell you like this. In third world countries where they play soccer for fun, they do not score the games. So there's no scoring done. They, even though there are goals made, there's no scores kept. That is because the game is for fun only. It's not to create winners and losers. It's for fun only. And then you have the comparison factor, which the comparison factor now in Western cultures, in many cultures, is completely out of control, comparison. Comparing what that, well, that's what the grading system does. The grading system says, if you're in the sixth grade and you get a D, then you're substandard. Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. That's not a substandard child. That's just a child that does not connect to the style of teaching, because many teachers don't know that human beings learn and communicate in one of three different ways. They either learn and communicate visually, auditorily, or kinesthetically. So if a child gets a D, it's probably because they're bored, not because they're stupid. And it certainly has nothing to do with their capability in life. But if you're trained that way, if you're trained, you're a D student, and that's your label. Well, chances are you're going to be a D adult. Yeah, the only difference between rich people and poor people is what goes on between their ears. That's the difference. It doesn't have anything to do with anything else.
I'm following along on what you're saying. I find it all fascinating. I'm just lost with the missing piece of the why it would be left out of education. What is the why? You said it's in the private, not in the public sector, but why? I don't get it.
Well, that's why, see, for me, I can't give you a factual answer to that that's based on facts. I can give you
your opinion.
Yeah, I can give you my opinion based on some facts that I have. I've spoken public schools in the U.S. There's a thing in Florida, I think it's nationwide, it's called the Great American Teach-In. And I've spoke at it many times, and when I go, they ask me, usually people go, it has a lot to do with occupational. So they'll bring in a fireman or a policeman or a hairdresser, and they'll do an hour presentation about a career path. But they bring me in and ask me to stay all day. Well, the last year that I got invited, they sent me a disclaimer. They said, if your talk has anything to do with honesty, self-worth, sex, drugs, there was a whole list of things, you have to be pre-approved by the school board. And I went, I wrote a very professional letter back and said, if you want me to be approved to talk about honesty, self-worth, forgiveness, and drugs, and I need pre-approval to do that, well, I respectfully decline your invitation. I decline. So, you see, from that, I have to ask myself the question, that's my facts, okay, but I have to ask myself the question, why, what would keep schools, what would keep the educational process pushed down to where they don't teach anything about life skills. Why? There's a reason. It's not accidental. I mean, it shows up in our culture. Look at our culture now. Character, ethics, integrity, values, where are they? They don't teach them in schools. Where do they appear? They're not on the news. They're not in entertainment. They certainly aren't on TV. Well, somebody's in control of all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I have to make an opinion and an assumption that
mm-hmm.
somebody doesn't care, or they purposely do not want people, children, to excel. All children, not just some children, all children. And if that's not the case, then all somebody has to do is tell me, explain it to me. Because if you watch Sir Ken Robinson, he's crystal clear about the schools killing creativity. He's a very intelligent man. He was a teacher. He's worked in schools. He is the resource, and everybody on your show, whether you have children or not, should watch Sir Ken Robinson on YouTube. He's an amazing man. His information is just superior.
Gary, when you respectfully decline, do they still hire you on your terms, or do they just say, okay?
No, here's what happened, and I found that
out
after the fact. The guy who sent me that got fired.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, I checked into it with this teacher from that very school, and I told the teacher what happened, and she said, yeah, that guy was fired. Because that made no sense at all. I mean, I need special permission to talk about self-worth, honesty, forgiveness, and drugs. I mean, drugs is an epidemic. I met several weeks ago, I met with Kathleen Peters. Kathleen Peters is our local Florida State Legislature representative, Florida State Rep. And I met with her about a specific issue having to do with the bridge that my son jumped off, and the fact that there's no jump protection on that bridge, and it's the fourth largest suicide venue in the United States, and nobody's doing anything about it, which is extremely frustrating for me and
what
hundreds of other people. The Sunshine Skyway.
Oh, all right, because I knew San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge was
that's number one. That's number
yes,
one,
I
and they
know
have
that.
They have installed or in the process of installing
yes,
jump protection on that bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Skyway is the fourth largest suicide venue in the United States, and the state of Florida is doing nothing about it. And on top of that, pretty much any psychologist will tell you it causes what's called spontaneous suicide because it costs a dollar. So, yeah,
what's
it's real interesting.
What's
it costs
a dollar
to get to cross the bridge. So it costs
$1. Oh, I thought people that commit suicide walk on it, leave the car somewhere, and just
no,
walk
they drive
on
up
it.
To the top, leave the car there, and exit.
Oh,
and hundreds
it.
And hundreds and hundreds of people have done it. I mean, this is so my point in all this is not to go into some negative vein. My point of all this is how do we change people's thinking so that they don't get to a point where exiting is their only strategy? That's the only thing they're left with. That's
good
where
question.
I come in. That's what I do. That's why I wrote the book. That's why I spend half my days on the phone with people who are challenged, and I get them to think divergently. That's what I do. I have a background in psychology, and I get the person on the phone to think outside of where they're currently thinking. Yeah.
You are who you are, and that's why you're a world-renowned international speaker, great writer. Let's see if we can get some divergent thinking here, folks. Whatever it is that you do every day, can you include one more thing in your list, and that's to listen to this show. And here in the wise words of our health guru is why it's good for you and your health. Beverly Nadler.
Listen to me.
In her
words. I have something to say about a wonderful way to start your day. A way to stimulate your mind and increase your energy. Make you feel so good. And guess what? It's free. Weekdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, hear the Joyce, Barry, and Friends show. You'll find it on the internet, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is upbeat and fun and very inspirational. It's informative, educational, and very motivational. There's the Coach's Corner, great quotes and news. There are suggestions, perspectives, and advice you can use to enhance your life and improve your health, plus clever, simple ways to increase your wealth. Joyce's perceptions and personality will keep you captivated, and her guests from many walks of life will always keep you fascinated. When Joyce and her friends speak, it's like you're in the conversation. This is part of what makes her show so unique, really a sensation. For Joyce's friends are not only the guests you're listening to, they're everyone who is tuning in. Yes, I do mean you. So refer your friends and family. They'll be so pleased to know. And let's make Joyce, Barry, and Friends the number one internet radio show.
And folks, we do ask that you partner up with us in having that happen. Simply go to joycebarryandfriends.com, B-A-R-R-I-E, joycebarryandfriends.com. On the upper left of our homepage, you'll see my picture right under that. It says follow. And simply by clicking on follow, you will be apprised of every show, every guest, every topic. You need not miss any of them, because if you can't join us when we are live at 11 a.m. Eastern, you can catch us in our archives 24/7. So do become a divergent thinking, a convergent thinker. Just think about listening to our radio show, Joyce, Barry, and Friends. Gary, do you think divergent thinking has anything to do with relationships? Can it affect relationships?
Absolutely. That's the demo that I do, and I repeat it over and over again because it's a game changer. It's a life changer. It's a relationship changer. It's to take and write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the left-hand side of a piece of paper and write down the top 5 things, qualities that you look for in a person that you're going to date, possibly marry, possibly have a significant relationship with, whatever, and write those things down. Now, here's what people do. And I've tested this for 10 years. They write down compatibility factors. They write down tall, likes to travel, great sense of humor, financially secure. And those aren't wrong answers, and they're not right answers. But divergent thinking says, if you think outside the box, you go, okay, well, okay, I need to be physically attracted to the person. Okay, not necessarily, but okay. But if you think outside the box, and see, people don't do this because this is a result of that exercise. People don't write down emotionally available because you have to think outside the box. People don't write down healthy self-worth because you have to think outside the box, because you are taught either consciously or subconsciously to only focus on convergent thinking. And the convergent thinking says they must look like this and they must act like this. It does not go into the actual things that you can build something on. So if the person isn't honest, you can't build anything. I don't care what they look like or how much money they have. And history proves that out. That's not a Gary King theory. History proves that out. That's factual. If you get involved with a person, and here's another interesting thing that people get a stigma around this word mental illness. All humans, be real clear on this, all human beings, if you're human and you live on this planet, you have a mental illness. Now, let me explain that. There's a spectrum. On one end of the spectrum, there is insecurity, personal insecurities. There is fear of abandonment. There's fear of rejection. That's on one end of the spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum is psychopaths and sociopaths, and in the middle are OCD and borderline and all things. In physical health, a head cold is on one end of the spectrum, and on the other end of the spectrum is a terminal disease, and in the middle there's all kinds of things. So I have to tell you something funny. It's funny. People will think this is funny. But I eat the cake that I bake. So before...
You walk the talk.
That's right. I eat the cake I bake. I walk the talk. So in my conversations with people, I go, okay, do you get a regular physical? Oh, yeah, of course. Do you get your teeth checked regularly? Yeah. Do you go get a mental health checkup? And there's dead silence. What do you mean? Do you periodically go get a mental health checkup? Why would I do that? Because every day of your life, you're juggling all this stuff in your head, all right? Because the voice in your head never shuts up. It never shuts up. So I was laughing. I was in regular therapy for a while after my son's suicide. I went through a whole series of EMDR, which is for PTSD. And then I changed gears and went to a therapist who's a clinical hypnotherapist and a psychologist. So right before this call, I dialed the office number, and Cindy, the secretary, is on the phone. She knows me very well. I send a lot of people there. I go, hey, Cindy, look up the last time I was there. Gary, April 12th. I went, okay, April, May, June, July. Okay, 3 months. It's time for my mental checkup. She was laughing. I said, it's time for my mental checkup. She goes, well, I have a cancellation today. Do you want it? And I said, yeah, absolutely. 3 o'clock, I'll take it. See, I have to eat the cake that I bake. It's what I tell people to do. Am I in crisis? No, I'm not in crisis. But guess what? When you go sit down with somebody who has no vested emotional interest, and you have a conversation with them, not because you're in crisis, or you could be, but you have a conversation with them, and you bring up, hey, I have some decisions to make, you know, and I'm caught in this decision-making process. Maybe it has to do with the relationship, or maybe it has to do with you just stay in a place where you don't take any risks. You will put up with stuff you shouldn't be putting up with. So, yeah, I was laughing with Cindy at the office. I went, yep, it's time for my checkup. She was laughing because people don't do that. They only call when the sky has fallen, you know, or the earth has opened up and swallowed them. Yeah, well, don't wait till that time. Don't wait till then to do that. I mean, your mental and physical health, your mental health controls your physical health. Yeah, people jump on me for that one. Well, that'll come out in the future. Your mental health affects your physical health.
So, for sure. Gary, there's a few things I'd like to cover. We are winding down here, but I really would like to hear your thoughts.
Sure.
If divergent thinking is connected to money, how that's connected to money?
absolutely no question about it. A divergent thinker, this is how a divergent thinker thinks. I can do anything, and I can do it really well. That's how a divergent thinker thinks. I can do anything. I can learn to do anything, and I can master it and do it really well. So I'll give you an example. Back before there was printed money, there was no printed money. The way that people, it was called trading. So back in the day before printed money, if I had eight different talents, okay, I had eight different career paths, which I do, by the way, then I have eight sources of income. So back in the day, a person who was a rancher had cattle, he was a blacksmith, he was a carpenter, because there was no money. Everything was traded. That's how people, they traded land. Yeah, that's divergent thinking. I have always been in a, I mean, otherwise, my history proves it out. Professional race driver, professional international artist, professional speaker and author. I have a background in mechanics and mechanical engineering, and I still own that business to this day. I'm an electrician. I built my own home. That's all a part of divergent thinking. But what happens is people get a career and they think that's it. This is my career. No, have six careers, because your one career could collapse on you. You know?
I love it. Now, taking it a step further, can divergent thinking actually create or facilitate miracles? Because that's my favorite topic, because I'm a believer in miracles. How does that, those two connect?
Okay. Divergent thinking is connected to the non-physical world. So we have the physical world of taking action, doing things based on divergent thinking. Well, divergent thinking also works in the non-physical world. So once you have a thought, and I just did a film on this the other day. A friend came and picked me up by boat to take me to breakfast by boat. I live on the water. And I said, hey, on the way back, I want you to stop at this house. He had a video camera with him. I said, I want to do a video piece called The Window of Opportunity. And so I had him pull up behind this house, and he started the video camera, and I started talking, and I said, in 1963, I lived in an $8,000 house. It wasn't air-conditioned, and one of my best friends invited me to spend the night with him at his home, which at that time would have been a $1 million house in 1963, swimming pool on the water, boat at the dock. I'm laying in bed staring at the ceiling, and I'm talking about this on the video, staring at the ceiling, and I can see the reflection of the swimming pool light on the ceiling in the bedroom. Well, I made a decision. I decided that I would have a bigger home, a bigger boat, and a bigger pool, and it would be very close to where this house is. This was in 1963. I created the thought. Divergent thinking, because if I wasn't a divergent thinker, I made 50 cents an hour unloading sod trucks at a nursery. So I created the thought, and I let the thought go. I made a decision, which the definition is to cut off from. So I cut off any other option than my decision. So that was in 1963. In 1976, I built my own home. If it wasn't for a condo complex that's in between my home and that house, I could lay in my bed, look across the water at the house and the bedroom window that I laid in and made that decision in 1963. In 1976, I owned the biggest house in the city that I live in. Not anymore, but in 1976 I did. And yes, I have a boat that's three times bigger than the one that was tied up at the dock. This is not in the form of an ego statement. This is in the form of divergent thinking. That's what I did. I didn't run out and become a lawyer or a doctor so I could get the money to do this. I made a decision. Divergent thinking. I did something that people went, that's ridiculous. You'll never have anything like that. That's a stupid decision you made. Yeah, and it created a miracle. The house I live in is a miracle. That's what it is. It's a miracle.
It definitely sounds like a miracle. And it's very exciting to have that kind of divergent thinking when you can really believe that anything is truly possible. Folks, let me give you some information about Gary. His website is Gary King, K-I-N-G, live. com. That's GaryKingLive.com. His book is The Happiness Formula. We did a whole show about The Happiness Formula in our archives, December 2, 2016. We did a great show January 4, 17, The Real Secret Behind the Secret. That's all about the law of attraction. February 13, 17, we did a show called Life Relationships, The Ultimate. March 13, 17, we did a show on sex, physical and emotional intimacy. So as you can see, these are all extraordinary topics to make your life so much better. If you didn't catch that, of course, you can listen to the show again or simply go to our archives, Joyce Barry and Friends.com, and on the upper right there's a search bar. You type in Gary King, all his shows will come up. So that's all you need to do, and they will all come up if you become a fan of Gary King, and we hope you do. And folks, now that you have this kind of information, I always pose the question, when will you apply it? And if not now, when? Joyce Barry and Friends, the number one worldwide internet radio show. This poem, an original by yours truly, is entitled, If Not Now, When? We are giving you the education. We are giving you the information. We are giving you the motivation. We are giving you the inspiration. What you really need to do is to put this into application. Do you want a transformation? You must use your imagination. It might take some perspiration. It's all in the preparation. You must really be sure there is no procrastination. It helps to have a fascination and very strong determination. You want a positive demonstration. Achieve success in the administration. It really is the time. Give each show your consideration. What is your aspiration? What do you need for stimulation? To get healthy and off that medication, to get wealthy, it's your destination. So make today the day for your participation. If you do, congratulations. If not, now, when? Well, Gary, another great show, another home run. I'm very grateful. I appreciate it. I've told you many times you're always welcome on our show. Start thinking about your next topic for the next show. What would you like to leave as your closing message to our listeners?
My closing message is your circumstances never, ever define your future. Your choices do. And anybody who wants to contact me, I'm at a point now where I help so many people. You can contact me directly. This is my cell phone number, 727-692-9909. If I can help you in any way, I will.
And you help our listeners every time you're on the show, and I learn a lot from you as well. Folks, this is what I want to leave you with, my special prayer for all of you. May yesterday be the last day, the very last day of your struggles, your suffering, your ill health, your misfortunes, your problems, your pain, your worries, your troubles, your trials and tribulations. May today be the first day, it is the first day of the rest of your life. May it be the beginning of the very best of your life, with extraordinary wishes granted and dreams coming true. Make this the most meaningful year of making more money, good health, good luck, good fortune, attracting special people and opportunities, creating magical memories, and manifesting marvelous miracles. That's my prayer for all of you. And I now invite you to sing along with us, dance along with us, and laugh along with us. And you can do that right here, right now, to the Joyce Barry Mass.
I was listening to Blog Talk Radio when my ears heard something that I did know. From the speakers of my laptop I heard a voice. It was the White Oprah, also known as Joyce.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH. I felt so inspired by her show, and her poetry was just so good, you know. I want to listen to Joyce again and again. As Joyce would say, if not now, when?
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She is a coaching smash.
He did the MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
He did the MASH.
The Joyce Barry MASH.
Wow.
Joyce knows all about having fun. She's
wow.
a home business wizard and she's just begun.
Wow.
She's
wow.
a coaching sensation for not just me or
wow.
you or her. It's for everyone.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Joyce Barry MASH.
She's a home business smash.
Then you can MASH.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can MASH.
Do the Joyce Barry MASH.
Have a fantastic day and listen to Joyce Barry and Friends.